Since it is Thanksgiving, I think we can all acknowledge that no one likes an ungrateful person. Calling someone an ingrate is a rather nasty slander, and few things are more uncomfortable than seeing a spoiled child melting down in the store or at the restaurant or any such thing. While we do not like thanklessness, I think we all too often categorize ungratitude as a minor vice. It is unpleasant, but not particularly damaging. But I contend, at least as a symptom, there are a few things that show so clearly the depravity of the human heart. The law of God commands, love your neighbor. It is written on all of our hearts. Whosoever is not moved to love, even when receiving the kindness of another, shows that even the last spark of natural love has been extinguished. Obvious displays of ingratitude make us feel uncomfortable because they confront us with the truly contemptible state of mankind. In the name of the giver of every good gift, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now you may recall this gospel lesson from a few months ago, and at that time I told you that the story, this gospel lesson, is more about the Samaritans returning to Jesus because he recognized that Jesus is the true temple, that Christ is the high priest, and that Christ is God incarnate. Thus, this gospel is more about the faith of the Samaritan than it is about his thankfulness. But this does not negate the fact that the other nine do not show their gratitude. They do not give thanks for this miraculous gift of healing that they have received. Our Lord says, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give thanks to God except this foreigner? We are tempted to ask, how can this be possible? How could these former lepers who are now healed be such ingrates? We must be careful in judging the 9. Lest we judge ourselves. The 9 do not return and give thanks to Jesus because they do not recognize the source of their blessing. And that is the reason that they do not give thanks. The ingratitude of the 9 is the common state of all mankind. Nearly every hour of every day, we are overcome by mind-numbing ingratitude. Even we Christians who confess, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, are subject to this common affliction. I realize in preparing for this text that I am chief among the ingrates. God has not revealed himself to be a creator like a watchmaker who creates the universe and then steps back and lets it run on its own. Instead, he is the creator and sustainer of all things. The Apostle Paul confesses before the Athenian philosophers, God is not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. And the preacher to the Hebrews likewise says, he upholds the universe by the word of his power. None of us go a single second without being surrounded by the kindness of God. Every person has received from God body and soul, eyes, ears, and all their members, their reason and all their senses, and each moment of life is a special favor of God. Each breath a gift, every night of sleep a comfort, each bite of food a kindness, each drink a mercy, each joy a treasure. If God removed his hand for a moment, all of it would cease to exist. Now, in our enlightened age, we often do not recognize the giver who bestows these gifts we enjoy. We know that food comes from the grocery store, not the hand of the Lord. We know that the rain is the result of a low-pressure weather pattern, not the mercy of our Heavenly Father. We no longer see the providential hand of God in all things. The God who commands the seeds to grow, the God who graciously gives the rain, and the God who commands the earth to yield its fruitfulness. Even we Christians have pushed away the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and created an idol. We are content to worship the clockmaker god of our imaginations. But that God does not exist. The only God who was and is and ever shall be is the Lord who is close at hand. We are like children who receive a gift and delight in the wrapping paper, but paid no attention to the giver. How honestly can we pray with the psalmist? The eyes of all look to you, O Lord, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. Not only are we blind to the source of our blessings, like the 9 former lepers, but we use the good gifts of God as weapons against him. Instead of praising the name of the one who gives us breath and voice, we casually blaspheme it by using it as a minor expletive. We take the temporal blessings of God and arrogantly try to build for ourselves an earthly kingdom, a self-sufficiency, while paying no heed to the one who gives us home, food, and family. If we treat these gifts of God that everyone recognizes as a blessing with such disdain, what do we do with suffering? If we do not see the hand of the Lord in the good, how can we see him in the bad? Can we honestly pray with Job, "The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Do we heed the admonishment of the preacher to the Hebrews? "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son." Is our theology too shallow to account for suffering and to give thanks to God even in the midst of suffering? Well, God has room in his theology for suffering. In his infinite power and wisdom and love, God deals with our ingratitude in the most surprising of ways. Instead of withdrawing his hand and letting us all perish, he extends it and he gives us even more. We try to hold God at a distance, turn him into the clockmaker, but the Almighty comes near and becomes man. He sticks himself into our business and then promises, "Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." God will not be distant from us. He will not let us push him away, because in Jesus, God came to suffer with us and suffer for us. He came to take upon himself our blasphemies, our arrogance, our ingratitude. He nails our thanklessness to the cross and he gives thanks. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread and gave thanks. For this reason, the church refers to the Lord's Supper as the Eucharist, as the thanksgiving. In his death, Jesus takes all our half-thanks, all our ingratitudes, he purifies them, he sanctifies them, and he offers them up with himself to the Father in thanks. In the Eucharist, he unites us to his death, so that our thanks ascend to the Father, pure and holy. In the Gospel text, the Samaritan, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. The Samaritan heard the words of Jesus and received healing. In faith, he recognized that Jesus is the source of his blessing, and he gives him thanks. It is not perfect thanks, but Jesus purifies it, and Jesus sanctifies it. In Jesus, the Father is praised. You, my dear brothers and sisters, are like the Samaritan. You have heard the word of Jesus. You have received his healing and his absolution, and in faith you recognize him. You give thanks to God for all his mercies and regret the thanklessness that still dwells in your hearts. Christ takes your thanks and purifies them and offers them up to the Father. So happy Thanksgiving. The Lord wants you to enjoy his gifts. He wants you to enjoy the feast that he has given you this morning of Christ's own body and Christ's own blood. And he wants you to enjoy a feast this afternoon as well. Eat turkey, enjoy family and friends, drink some cider and some wine, and praise God from whom all blessings flow. Amen. You may rise for the offertory.
Thank you.